Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bible class this evening. Tonight we've got our brother Matt Oliver with us, and he's going to be leading us in the first of three studies on angels. And tonight his particular theme is God revealed through his angels. So welcome, Matt. Thanks for coming. As an introduction to brother Matt's comments this evening, he's asked that we read from Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, with that in mind, I'll ask Brother Matt to come forward and lead us in his study on angels. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, John. Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Wonderful to see you all. I know there's a few away due to sickness and various other reasons, but it's great to have you all here that are here. Thank you, Tan, for your playing. Angels, well, thank you for, and again, thank you, Tim. I really mean Tan, but I'm looking at you, for allowing me to do three nights on this when I only had two on the program. So I've asked to do this study because I've really, really enjoyed doing it. And I think if someone really enjoys doing a study, then you should, you know, allow them to give it, I think. And I've enjoyed it because it has, it's just made me rethink how I read the Bible, pretty much. And a little bit of how I think about the future. So, for example, right, I'm going to read out some questions and answers. You don't need to answer them, James. These are just questions and answers, so rhetorical. So I'm going to do that so that you can see what sort of questions you might have been asked, or remind you of the questions you might have been asked when you were about 6 years old. So these are the questions, and they were answered by Monique, who's not here, so I can pick on her. Why do you want God's kingdom to come soon? Was the first question. Because it's going to be filled with animals. Fair enough. When you think of God's kingdom, what do you think of? Amazing things happening. That's a great answer. Which person from the Bible would you like to see? Jesus. Which is great. It's probably the only person she could remember at the time, but nevertheless, still a great answer. What would you like to do in the kingdom? I would like to fly on a bird. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah? Now, I guess if she was here and if we were to ask, she's 13 now, a 13-year-old, those same questions, I wonder what she would say. In fact, I wonder what each of us would say to those questions, right? And so I guess looking at this topic of the angels over the next three nights hopefully will help you, as it has me, to be a bit clearer in my own mind about my role perhaps in the kingdom, about what it might be like in the kingdom. So we're going to have three nights on it, and tonight is really just building a bit of the bit more about who the angels are, what they are, what their role is essentially, and their relationship to God. Without a vision, the people perish, Proverbs says, doesn't it? So we want to try and build that vision of the kingdom age for us, and the angels is a great place to go. And if you haven't studied the angels, maybe you have, but if you haven't, please do, because it's amazing. So a couple of things, though, to start with. By way of reference, if you are going to study the angels, I'm going to plug this little booklet. It's really just a little pamphlet from the Scripture Study Service. It's, you may have seen it already. It's called The Angels of God, and the author is my late father-in-law, Jim, and it's a compilation of works from many brethren, basically put into small sections, if you like, with lots of different Bible references. Because the thing with studying the angels, there is no single chapter or verse to go to. In fact, we read Hebrews 1, and probably the chapter in the Bible that has the word angels written so many times over and over and over. I don't know if you noticed that, but you probably did because the topic was on angels. Otherwise, you wouldn't have noticed it, probably. But this book's really good as a bit of a reference. The other, and I need to say this because Brother Ron Cowie has really helped me with this, and if you've heard any of his works on angels, he's been studying it for years and years, and it's fantastic. I've still got some old scribblings from when I was young. You're nodding over there, which you probably have too. Teenage sessions. And they're fantastic. And he's quite inspirational on this topic. Okay, but I want to start. Come over to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, because what I want to do before we get right into who the angels are and what they do, I want to come over to Ephesians 1. And we're going to look at the bigger picture. I'm sure Ephesians is here somewhere. I saw it the other day. Here it is. Ephesians 1. Now, Ephesians 1, we've got this, the first, you know, writings of Paul to the Ephesians, and he's very excited. And Paul, the apostle, it says in verse 1, you know, he's talking to those that are of the faith of Ephesus. Grace be to you, verse 2, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he continues in Ephesians 1, verse 4, that we already have been chosen for what purpose? That we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. But how is this possible? Well, verse 5, it's through Christ's redemptive work that we are adopted children of God. It's just interesting, isn't it, that word adopted? We're adopted as children to God. So what is the big picture? The big picture really is in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, so at a point in time when everything is complete, is what that really means, he, that is God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So that's the big picture. I'm not going to call it a goal because it's not an aspiration. It's the plan. It's going to happen. The big picture is all things are going to be in God. Come over to Philippians 2, just a few pages over. He says something very similar here in Philippians. Philippians 2, he was speaking about the humility of Christ. Verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Why? Again, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth. That's the end game, isn't it? Every knee is going to bow. There's not going to be a knee that won't bow in the end. Of course, there's going to be resistance. But there's not going to be any knee that will not bow in the end. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So that's a big picture. I just wanted to point out the big picture. So if you think about it from that point of view, what is a family of God made up of ultimately? What is it really made up of? And I've got a slide here that will point that out. Well, first of all, there's Almighty God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. There's lots of verses, actually, we're going to go through. I won't turn them all up. Who only has immortality, dwelling in light. Who can finish that? Yeah. Who no man hath seen nor can see. That's really important to remember when we're talking about the angels, all right? Remember that. No man hath seen nor can see. Don't get that mixed up, because people in history have. But it's not true. The only reason it's not true is because of the angels. So he's the head of this family, without a doubt. Then you have Christ, the Son, his only begotten Son. Hebrews 1, we've read about him already. He's made greater than the angels in his current position, right? Then, of course, we have the angels, God's ministering spirits. They're known in Job, when Job talks about when God was speaking, of course, to Job through an angel, that, you know, the creation, these sons of God shouted for joy at the end of creation because it was such a marvelous thing. And then, of course, we've got the redeemed saints. Let's come over to that Luke 20. We have Luke 20. Here we have the time when Jesus was talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees were trying to trip him up, especially around this idea of resurrection, and they gave him this riddle, didn't they, about this woman who had many husbands, and then she dies, and all of a sudden, whose is she going to be in the kingdom? You know, trying to trip him up. So verse 34, Jesus answers and said unto them, the children of this world marry, yes, and are given in marriage, yes. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. Why? Because they're equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So the redeemed saints form part of that ultimate family. Now we know that, right? But it's just good to look at that in this perspective, because I think oftentimes we leave the angels out, don't we? We don't mean to. We think it's God and Jesus and then we'll be with them. Well, actually, the angels are part of that family. They are now and they will be in the future. All right. How many angels were there? Well, you can see that up there. Yep. I've just got three verses here. There are many other verses, but these are the main ones that I explain to you and tells you there are so many of them that you can't number them. All right. 12 legions of angels were offered to Christ, which is 78,000. I'm sure all with swords. Imagine that, Darcy, 78,000 angels with swords. If you were Roman, would you be running?
Yep.
You sure would. Revelation 5, 10,000 times 10,000. I'm not really good at maths, but I'm calling that 100 million. But the point is, it's not how many, is it? The point is, it's innumerable. It's an innumerable company of angels. God has this innumerable company of angels at his disposal, which is pretty cool, pretty amazing. Okay. So where do they come from? Now, that's an interesting question, isn't it? And I guess, really, truthfully, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't think anyone can say they really know. They can really only speculate, and if there was ever a topic where a little bit of speculation might be good, I think this is okay. We can put a little bit out there. And the reason I'll speculate is because of two verses. We'll add a third one, but we'll go with two verses. Come over to Psalm 104. We're really only told in Scripture what we need to know for us to be able to follow Christ. So Psalm 104, I love Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is, it's a creation psalm, isn't it? It goes basically through creation, which is awesome. And it starts off, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great and thou art clothed with honour and majesty. You know, you cover yourself with light, so as a garment, and stretch out the curtains like the heavens, etc., etc. You know, you make the great waters. And then in verse 4 it says, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. And certainly we've seen, you know, the angels depicted as a fiery, you know, chariot and angels. And he makes his angels spirits. So have that in your mind. That means that he's made them. Yes, but it's also that he's made them spirit. So think about that. Again, we're speculating to a degree, but have that in the back of your mind. Now come over to Genesis 3. When did he make them spirit? Well, this is the thing. We don't really know, do we? When did he make them spirit? So Genesis 3, we all know this very well. Genesis 3, in verse 22, and the Lord God, this is after the fall, of course. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now let he put forth his hand to take the tree of life and eat it and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the garden. He has become one of us to know good and evil. Now again, we don't know this for sure, but there is a suggestion perhaps they have come from some similar existence to what we have had. Maybe, previously. We don't know. One thing we do know is that if that was the case, it did not involve God's only begotten Son, because he is his only begotten Son in this world. But if you put those two things together, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? He made them spirits. Okay, maybe when? Maybe they went through a period where they understand good and they understand evil. If they were just purely good, why would they understand evil? So logically, if you work through that, there is some sense to that sort of thinking. So what's their relationship with God then? What's their relationship with God? This is my clumsy way of trying to show you angels around the throne of God. If you try and Google it, you won't find anything worthy to put up. So if we go back to Psalms, Psalm 103, actually, let's see how they are related to God, what they actually are doing. Psalm 103 and verse 19 to 22 says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." This is setting the scene. Just picture that. His throne in heavens and his kingdom that rules over all. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye Yahweh, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all his works in all places of his dominion, and bless Yahweh, O my soul." So this tells us a few things. They do God's will. They do God's will. They listen. They hearken to his voice. Okay, so they're part of God's, they're his ministering spirits, but they're there to do his will and to hearken to his voice. They are there to perform his pleasures, verse 21. That's what they're there to do. Come back to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Here we have a beautiful psalm showing God's great mercies. And here we have reference to the angels as well in verses 5 to 8. "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yahweh, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints," which means the holy ones. "For who in heaven can be compared unto Yahweh? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto Yahweh? God is greatly to be feared and in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about him. O Yahweh, El," or Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, "who is a strong El like unto thee? For to thy faithfulness round about thee." So here we have a picture of the angels, if you like, giving great praise to Almighty God, because there's no one like God, no one quite like him, and they know this. He's awesome. He's amazing. And so the angels are in awe of God's wonders and praise. Come over to Zechariah 6. I know we're going to turn a few quotes up, so we won't turn into a competition, because I would lose. Zechariah 6. In Zechariah, there's a lot of references made to the angels, and we'll pick up on that on the next couple of nights. In Zechariah 6, we have this picture, if you like, of this vision that is had. And the vision is of verse 1, "Mine eyes looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass." This is a vision. First chariot was red, and then there was a black one, and then there was a white one and a grisly one. And they took off, and they went in all different directions. And he said to the angel, verse 4, the angel that talked with me, which later we'll find is actually Gabriel, and the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of heaven which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. And then he goes on to say that they actually continue, verse 7, to and fro throughout all the earth. So they stand in the presence of God, of the Almighty. And then they are told what to do and they head off and they go throughout the entire world. So that's their relationship with God, isn't it? Their relationship with God is that they're there to do his bidding, really. God is in charge. And they come and they commune with God in heaven. And then away they go with another duty. Well, I guess we can find a bit more about who the angels are just by looking at their names. Because the Hebrew names used for angels is the name Malak or Elohim. Malak meaning to dispatch as a duty or a messenger or an ambassador. And Elohim simply means a mighty one. We know about the Elohim, don't we? In Genesis 1, Elohim that created all the creatures that we see around us, the world that we see around us, was created by the Elohim at the command of God. In the New Testament, it's the word agalos, which means to bring tidings. So we often see them in the scripture as mere messengers, but at times we see them as far more than just messengers. Far more than just messengers. So they're more than that even. So let's look at some of the myths about angels, some of the things that we might have heard about angels. Or I know I was Googling angels and trying to get some good photos, and it's like, nah, forget that. There's just nothing out there that I can use, except this one. I chose this one. This is a pretty amazing one, pretty scary sort of a one to come across, I reckon, the back streets of Adelaide. But what angels are not is they're not robots. They're not clones. They're not all the same. Definitely not all the same. They are not rebellious. And I've spoken to people who really truly believe there are rebellious angels, because that's what they've been taught. They are definitely not equal to each other, and we'll see that that's the case over our nights. What angels do not, they do not work independently from God's will. It's God's will that they perform. They do not know everything. They don't. Some know more than others. They do not force man's will, and they will not force man's will. And they do not judge or receive praise of men. They don't see, and there's a couple of places which shows us clearly that they don't receive praise of men, because men have tried to bow down to them and praise them, right? Angels don't have an ego. Men have an ego. Angels are not trying to be men. Men are trying to be angels, maybe, hopefully. But it's not the other way around. They are not rebellious in any way at all. So what do they look like? Well, you can see there this angel standing there quite proud, and I'm sure they could look like anything they want to look like. Absolutely, 100%. They have the power to make you see what you want to see. And we'll be able to show that in Scripture, right? But they typically don't have halos or great wings. Yeah? Have you seen anywhere in Scripture where it says that? In fact, it says nothing like that at all. Here's what it says. Genesis 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image with our likeness. That's the first point. Genesis 18, the angels were described there as men. And in 19 with Sodom, the people saw them as men. Okay. Judges, Gideon, he wasn't sure either. And then he perceived that it was perhaps an angel, and he saw him face to face, I'm going to die. He wasn't sure. Manoah, he didn't know either. And then when he did finally see him and left, he said, well, that must have been an angel. Remember, he was freaked out. And his wife calmed him down. You know, if they had wings and a halo, it would be pretty easy to pick, wouldn't it? Like, oh yeah, that's an angel. Got wings and a halo. But they weren't. In Hebrews 13, remember that quote? Paul says, you shouldn't neglect entertaining strangers because you just don't know. That could be an angel. We could have already come across an angel in reality, seeing someone, not realizing that they're an angel. That is a fact. However, they do often appear bright, certainly depending on the circumstances. And I have a theory around that, because if they're in the presence of God, of course, they're radiant in that instance, but perhaps to teach a lesson as well. I think even Moses was shining bright at one point because he was in the presence of the angel. So that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And the funniest one, I think, is Balaam. So this is proof to me that angels can make you see or not see whatever they desire. I think the funniest thing about Balaam and his ass wasn't so much that, there's Balaam whipping his ass because it wouldn't go where he wanted it to go. It wasn't so much the fact that the donkey turned around and said, hey, what are you doing? It was the fact that Balaam then talked back to him. I thought that was even funnier. But the point is, the angel all of a sudden appeared and he could see him. So these are some of the things the angels can do. So besides the great myths of great wings and things, I guess they were put there because, you know, angels can move quickly, I don't know. But I think artists have gotten away with it a bit too over the years. So angels essentially look like us. They look like us. But there's something else that we need to talk about to set the scene for the angels for the next few talks. They're God's representatives on earth. God's representatives. And I guess this is a key to understanding the angels. So write this down. The main thing is that we won't understand the angels and how they're portrayed in the Bible. We will not understand it until we understand God manifestation. 100%. And if we don't understand that, we need to understand that. And it's based on some principles. So there's some principles there, right? So God is in heaven, man is on earth. Tells us that very clearly, doesn't it? In Ecclesiastes, Psalms, heaven and the heavens is the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. John 1 verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, nor can he see. That's that first Timothy, whom no man hath seen nor can see. So God is in heaven. This isn't diminishing God, by the way, his ability to know all things. It's just clearly outlining his mechanism, which is to use the angels. Come over to that Psalm 33. We'll go through to 9 o'clock, is it, James? Is that right? Oh, no, we start at 7:30. New Zealand time. Psalm 33, and hello to those who may be listening in at home. I know there's a few away. Psalm 33, verses 4, we read this. A word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. I like that, the word of the Lord is right. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths and the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's how it works. All he has to do is speak and command. And that's carried out. That is carried out. And how is it carried out? Well, it's carried out, isn't it? By the angels. So, in that sense, we really need to understand this idea of God manifestation. So in John 10, verse 30, we won't turn it up. Jesus says, you know it well, I and my Father are one. He says that, right? And a lot of the people in the world get that mixed up. They don't quite understand that because they don't understand God manifestation. Because then in another place, in John 1, verse 18, so first in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one, but John 1, verse 18, he says, no man hath seen God. That's a conundrum. He's standing there in front of people saying, I and my Father are one, but no man has seen God. That's just madness. But it's not madness, and it's not a conundrum if we understand this idea of God manifestation. In other words, Christ was on earth for those years that he was on earth in 100% representation of God. In other words, if God were to walk the earth, if he was to say the things that he was to say and do the things, it would have been exactly as Christ did it. Because he 100% represented his Father on earth. Well, in the same way, God is represented on earth via his angels. Let me come over. We're in Psalms. Let me have a look here. So in Genesis, we won't go there. When you think about the record of creation, when it says that God put Adam into a deep sleep, remember, and he formed Eve? You know, you picture that, don't you? You picture, I don't know how you picture that in your mind, but for me it was a bit hazy. Oh, yeah, God putting him to sleep and somehow this hand came down and I don't know how you picture it. It's the angels that did that, that performed that work on Adam, that created, and it was a miracle, without a doubt, with God's spirit power, 100%. But it was the angels that did this. You know, when it says in Genesis 3 that that Adam and heard the angels, heard God walking in the garden, talking, it was the angels, no doubt. Hebrews 11, verse 3, the worlds were framed, who can finish that one? By, come on, Ralph, I can see the cogs turning. By the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Worlds were framed by the word of God. Genesis 31. Here's the thing. Genesis 31, we talk about Jacob. The angels are all through the life of Jacob. The angel says to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. How can he be the God of Bethel? It's just an angel. Because he's speaking on behalf of God. Jacob says that he saw God face to face, didn't he, when he wrestled with the angel. But it wasn't really, it was his manifestation, his angel. So come over to Genesis then. In verse chapter 28, Genesis 28, we're going back to Jacob's life. This is a really good depiction, if you like, of angels and how God is interested in those that he has chosen. Genesis 28. In verse 24, and this is again something that we've grown up learning at Sunday school. We have this vision that was given, or a dream given to Jacob. And the dream was of this great ladder in verse 12, the ladder that was set up from the earth, and the top of it reached up to heaven. So you can picture that. This is quite easy to picture, isn't it? And behold, it says, angels of God ascended and descended. We all remember Uncle John Martin on this topic. Ascending and descending, you know, what was the point? Well, they're always starting here on the ground, so they're here all the time sort of thing. That was his main point. In the next verse it says, behold, Yahweh stood above it. Well, you can cross out above it and put beside him, because that's what that means. Yahweh stood beside him and said, I am Yahweh, God of Abraham, father, and the God of Isaac. And he goes on to give that blessing, doesn't he, of the land. So this is another picture, isn't it, to show us that God knows what's going on because he has his angels working in our lives. It's not like they leave us all of a sudden and then when they're not there and we've got periods of time, you know, oh, Tim's gone to sleep now, so we're okay, we can knock off. It's not the point, is it? The angels of God are here with us. They know what's going on. They're here to help us. But we'll talk a bit more about that in the last class. Okay. One thing I do want to point out, and this is probably good if you're talking to anybody who thinks there are evil angels or angels that are rebellious in any way, mortal men have also represented God in the same way. And the word it uses for them is the word Malak or Agalos, and even Elohim. So these verses, we won't turn up, but these are verses there that are clearly talking about men, not angels. But they use the same word in the Greek and in the Hebrew. And they use them, and for example, judges were like gods. They were the ones that had to judge on behalf of God, I guess, judging the law. And those that were servants in the temple also had that same idea as a servant, as an angel. Okay. We're getting through this really well, James. You'll be able to have supper early. I do want to point out angels in another way, and that's probably the only other way to represent angels in the scripture. And it's the term Yahweh of hosts. You've heard that term, right? Which simply means Yahweh Sabaoth. That's a title. And we see that often in scripture. It's another way to represent God's heavenly host, but in a very specific way. Can anyone think of why it would be used?
In war.
Say that again?
In war.
In war, yes, correct. In war. So whenever there was a war or there was a... Let's take it up a little bit higher level and call it judgment, right? Some form of judgment that God had. He always uses this term Yahweh of hosts. So when you read this term Yahweh of hosts in Scripture, you think about a great army, a bit like the 72,000, right? There's a great army ready for this judgment. Now, these are judgments of God. I said before, our angels are not here to judge us. That's not their role. Their role is to serve us. Christ's role is to judge us. But the angels of Yahweh, in the sense of an army, are there for God's judgments on the earth. And they're to do certain work, and sometimes we don't even see the half. We wouldn't even know the half of it. So it's a military title. There's some of the quotes there if you're taking down some notes. How do they do that? How do they judge in the earth? Well, in various different circumstances. And most often it's miraculous. And sometimes it's just what we would classify as nature. Something really crazy just happened in terms of a storm or an earthquake or some such thing. We know that this is exactly how God's judgments are meted out upon the earth, because we know that in the future we look forward to, I guess we look forward, even though it's a bit trepidatious for the world, a great earthquake, don't we? And that's just one of the ways that Yahweh of hosts will start his judgments upon the earth again soon. So think about that. I want you to think about some of the natural or the miraculous things that have occurred over throughout the biblical history and over the more recent history. When you think about how the angels have been involved in that. Okay, let's just think about, for example, the River Nile turning red. Okay, that was a miracle, right? It wasn't Moses, he didn't have a special stick, it was a miracle. The firstborn of Egypt dying, not just the humans, the animals. Who would know what the firstborn animal was, let alone human? 185,000 Assyrians dead in one night. I mean, this is the work of an angel, right? One angel. with this enormous mighty power, the mighty ones of God. Think about the weather, how it's been used to blame changes in the course of human history over time. I should give you the opportunity to tell me of some events, but I'll give you a date and you tell me if you can think of an event. 1588. It's not a quiz, but... Oh, there he goes. The cogs are going again. 1588. What was that down the back? Sorry? Pompeii, no meat tray for you tonight, no. I don't know. I'm only calling out one I know. No. They're all good things, right? Because they're all changed history. And more than likely, they're right. Who said that? You've got it. The Spanish Armada, right? So here you have this huge fleet of ships. Thank you, Sam. Typical. Yeah, no phones. And that's just think about that from a weather point of view, right? And I've got, you know, big storm clouds up here just to highlight my point. They have the ability to change weather. They have this enormous power. Well, I've got that on my list. And that's more recent, right? Because there was an enormous storm, wasn't there, that stopped people going out and voting against Brexit. Wow. And we, you know, I still get chills at my back when I think about that. But that is the enormous power that God has invested in his angels. Okay? Napoleon and Hitler tried to take Russia. Both of them failed. Why? The winter was the worst they've ever seen. All right? What happened then? Yep. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah. All right. Sorry if you didn't hear that at the back. That's you have to be here. But anyway, they're still doing great things, and we've got to believe that. I don't know if you watch the news lately; it's pretty depressing. But wait for it, because there's more weather coming. Way more weather coming. And don't underestimate the fact that this could all be part of this plan. You just don't underestimate that, because the angels are directed by the word of God. He can see what's got to happen. And I guarantee you, he's out there saying, right, we need to increase the weather on here, and we need to do this, and all right. You know, and you can just see it, can't you? The Spanish fleet were about to annihilate England. And what happened as a result? They were annihilated, and what did England become? Great Britain went round the world, setting up kingdoms around the world. Isn't that amazing? Because it was in God's plan. So the angels are, it's an exciting topic to look at, and we're going to get, this is just laying the platform, if you like, before we get right into it. And the last night, of course, we'll be able to talk at angels a little bit more around how they interact perhaps with us, which is pretty exciting and something we don't really think about enough. I know I never used to. And perhaps something I need to think about more. Maybe we all need to think about more. Because they're in here. They're here with us now, right? You've got to believe that. They're with us.
They're sitting in the background, listening in the back
rows. Yeah, absolutely. So they still have a great work to do. Hebrews 2 verse 5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak," which seems to indicate that the judgments of this coming world and the outworking of Christ are to be performed not only by them but for us. So we're going to be involved in it, in the final destruction of man's evil, if you like. To be able to bring about this great family that we talked about at the start. So, by the grace of God, We, by the grace of God, will be made spirits one day. That's what we hope for, isn't it? Like the angels. And to be able to perfectly perform God's will, which we really don't do very well now, but we'll be able to do it perfectly among the nations, just as the angels do. So over the next couple of nights, we're going to talk, and the next one is going to be on the angels as directors of God's plan, and I've put that up there just to let you know. So essentially, we're going to be talking about two particular angels, which is Michael and Gabriel, because they are the only two angels that are actually named for us in the Bible. And I believe they're only two that are named because of a very, very good reason, so that we can actually understand their work and follow their work. So that's it. I'll leave it there for tonight. Thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you all again in a couple of weeks' time, God willing.